Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And this whole week, friends, we've been looking at the discourse, the argument, the battle between Jesus and the religious leaders in the temple, mostly from chapter 8, kind of each day or at each moment, the argument getting more and more intense because Jesus is both exposing the sin-sick condition of even the religious leaders of Israel who are slaves to sin, not yet sons. Jesus's extraordinary claims that he and the Father are one, that he is the I Am, and the Pharisees rend their garments, and they pretty much, not in that moment, but that's kind of the garments of the heart, they'll later literally rend the garment. But they accuse him of blasphemy, and they want to take up stones and stone him. They're saying Abraham is their father. They're claiming that they've got this lineage, they're sons of Abraham. But Jesus said, not really. Ultimately, he said, you're not sons of Abraham. You're like Ishmael, you know, who was cut off from the covenant, was the child of Hagar, not the child of Sarah. And he was cut off from the covenant. And because they're not like Abraham, their father, who received everything in faith, they're not living by faith and that surrender and the trust in the will of God and the word of God that was coming to them by the Lord. And then they accuse Jesus of having a demon. Can you imagine that? You talk about just being wrong, you know, the bad spiritual discernment. They're listening to Jesus. They're looking at Jesus, who is literally the Son of God, who is truth itself. He's the light of the world. He's bringing light, absolute purity of truth in God's own heart to the people. And the religious leaders say, we know what the deal is with you. You have a demon. You're under the power of a demonic force. And then Jesus says to them, no, it's the other way around. You're sons of the devil. You're deceivers like him. I mean, just intense words, intense drama. And this is the light, which is Jesus speaking into the darkness. This is the heart of a loving father speaking through his son to a religious leader whom the father loves, and he knows they have to hear it straight. They have to see where they're at to give them, so they don't live under the illusion that they're somebody that they're not, and that they're in a position that they're not. And this is why the preaching of the church, friends, has to be clear like this. Why we have to have the actual words of Jesus. We can't edit the word of God. We can't avoid the hard sayings of Jesus and the apostles. We have to be faithful to deliver the mail as we receive it. We have to communicate the actual words of Jesus and the whole counsel of Jesus' words so that the purifying words of Jesus, not just the encouraging words of Jesus, are given to us, because sometimes that's exactly what we need, because we'll find a way, the flesh finds a way to get what it wants and to keep a toe in the kingdom at the same time, in a place of lukewarmness and pride and the rest, and that needs to be broken. And it needs to be broken through the clear truth of God's word that examines the human heart. It's a surgical knife, the word of God. It's living and active. It cuts deep into the soul and the intentions of the human heart. There's nothing like it. And this whole counsel of God's word needs to be received. And it's a critical part of Lent to internalize these words, friends. And don't just kind of read them, but make them your own. Hear the word spoken to you from Jesus. He wants to purify us. And as St. Paul says, wash us with the word. It's so important. So today we're shifting from chapter 8 to chapter 10 of John's gospel. But the conflict continues here. And the issue over blasphemy. Jesus is claiming that he's the I Am. And here in before today's verses begin, just before it, in Matthew 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Beautiful. Ought to be a great consolation for those of you who are following the Lord. We hear his voice through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his word, through the teaching of the church. He said, I know them and they follow me. The Lord knows you, and those who are sheep follow him. He's a good shepherd. And so he speaks that. Then he says, I give them eternal life. Back to the central theme, one of the central themes of John. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Where do human beings find light? What kind of light do they need? A light that's stronger than the darkness of death itself. And that light is what? We see the light shine in the life of Jesus that's completely indestructible, the divine life of God in the person of Jesus Christ, now united to human flesh. That's our destiny. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's what the mission of the church is to bring human beings into this very life that's in Jesus through repentance and faith, baptism, life of the sacraments, life of the church. He gives eternal life, and they will never perish. What a gift. Meditate on that, friends. Meditate on that precious gift that only Jesus can give. And then he goes on, and he stirs them up again, the leaders. He said, "My Father, who has given them to me, how have they become sheep, and how have they become his followers?" Remember what Jesus said to Peter when Peter identified who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of God, and Jesus rejoiced, he smiled. He said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my heavenly Father did." Faith is a gift. It comes from God, the confirming power of the Spirit at work in us. We hear the good news about the Lord Jesus. He said, "The Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And then he said, "I and the Father are one." Wow. That rocked their world again. Jesus' claim to blasphemy. So some people want to say, even some leaders in the church now, want to say, you know, Jesus never made the claim that he was God, never claimed that he should be worshipped or followed in that way, all that kind of stuff. It's not true. It's not true. It's right here. That's why they killed him. They didn't kill Jesus because he was Captain Kangaroo or, you know, Mr. Rogers. They killed Jesus because he made claims that the law said, the laws of the blasphemy laws, said that he ought to be killed. They knew what Jesus was claiming. Today, some leaders in the church want to soften, you know, the claims of Jesus. They want to reduce the claims and, you know, he was the most enlightened man, or he was a prophetic figure, he was a great teacher, all that kind of stuff. But he certainly wasn't who he's claiming to be here. That's a subtle denial that's happening in parts of the church today. Whenever you hear that, walk away. If you ever hear a priest say stuff like that, just get up and walk out, right? Or wait for him after church and challenge him respectfully. So, verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" This goes back to what Jesus was saying earlier about that the Father testifies to who he is. I mean, Jesus spoke to dead people and they were raised. Jesus forgave sins. Jesus gave sight to the blind. The cripple got up and walked. All of these things Jesus said they're manifest, and lots of people can see them. The humble see them, and they connect. Their hearts are open. But the proud, the religious proprietors, it's tougher for them because they're proud. And Jesus is exposing that pride. So they go on. Jesus goes on and said, "For which of these are you trying to stone me?" Right? The Jews answered him, saying, "We're not stoning you for good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." There it is. That's the heat of their anger. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in the law, 'I said you are gods'? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, you can say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, 'I'm the Son of God'? If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I do perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father." Then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped. There's a little commentary here in the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible about Jesus talking about gods here and consecration. And the citation is, "I said, you are gods." This is from the commentary, and this is a citation from Psalm 82, verse 6. The psalm is a prayer for Yahweh to punish corrupt shepherds of Israel. These leaders who are charged with teaching and enforcing the divine law are called gods by the psalmist because of the divine authority they wield over the people. The abuse of this power makes their corruption all the more insidious. Jesus reasons that if sinful authorities are given a divine title because of their duties, how much more is he entitled to it who is guiltless and who speaks the words of God? That's the Lord. So the Lord Jesus knows who he is. He's speaking the truth. If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. He then goes on to say, but if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. Jesus is making an appeal to them. He's saying, he might even be saying, I don't know, but he might even be saying, okay, are you struggling with what I'm saying about myself? Understand that I'm not just giving my own testimony to who I am. Look at all that the Father has done. Don't deny those things, because God the Father is speaking because you've seen the works yourself. Now believe those works so that you can understand, you can come into what I'm telling you, that I and the Father are one. God is my Father. I'm his eternal Son. And I'm coming to bring you the fullness and the understanding of the Father's heart, of who he is and what his will is. And you've gone off course. And I want to show you where you've gone off course. And I want to bring you back to the Father. But you'll have to repent. You have to change. You have to accept my words. But they struggle, right? They refuse. It said, then they tried again to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true. And many there began to believe in him. So faith is spreading, and Jesus would take great consolation from that. It would make him smile because he knew that no one can come to him unless the Father were drawing him. And so as Jesus is preaching the kingdom and preaching the will of God, he'll say in different places, look, the Father's at work. The Father's at work in the signs and wonders. The Father's at work in showing me what his will is. And the Father's at work in drawing people to me. Jesus is all about pleasing the Father. And that means extending the Father's kingdom. And what does that mean? It means extending the rightful rule and the reign and the will of God in the earth. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what the church exists to do. Part, friends, of our journey in Lent is to not only come into the light further and to allow Jesus to diagnose where we are with the help of the Holy Spirit and receive forgiveness of sins and further purification, but Jesus wants us to go deeper as followers, and he wants us to have his passion, his zeal, his prophetic clarity, his desire to extend the Father's rule and reign in the earth, not by force of man's will or by weapons of force, but by the will of God, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, through words and deeds, through testimony and the way we live our lives. A time of darkness, friends, and shadows is come over the earth in a kind of crazy way in our time. We're meant to be a light, and Jesus wants to give us power to radiate that light to a world that desperately needs to see it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.